The biggest enemy we must continue to fight continues to be our own government. How dare we stop? We cannot stop. We are not crumbs. We must not accept crumbs, and we must stop acting like crumbs.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. I'm Lucia Chappell. An Italian court christens two gay dads as legal parents, death threats don't deter a Trinidadian activist, and it's time to act up again. Those stories and more this week because you've chosen This Way Out.
I'm Danny Cruz.
And I'm Jessica Andrea.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBT communities around the world for the week ending March 4th, 2017. A court in northern Italy has broken new ground in the definition of family. The Higher Regional Court of Trento ruled that both gay dads of twin boys born 6 years ago in Canada through a surrogate should be registered in Italy as the boys' legal parents. Surrogacy is against the law in Italy, so the man went to a country where it's legal. The unnamed couple were recognized as joint parents after a court fight in Canada. But when they brought those documents to Trento City Hall, they were told that only the biological father could be listed as the parent. The court ruled, however, that parental relationships are not defined solely by biology. On the contrary, the decision reads, one must consider the importance of parental responsibility, which is manifested in the conscious decision to raise and care for the child. Gabrielle Piazzoni of Italy's leading LGBTQ rights organization, Archigay, noted, however, that while the ruling has some important cultural effects, it sets no legal precedent. He agreed with the court's belief, however, that we need to move the debate about parenting away from the biological approach that ignores the complexity and the wide plurality of families. Italy lags behind most other European nations that already have enacted full marriage equality. Same-gender couples were finally allowed to enter into less-than-equal civil unions late last year, but they're specifically barred from adopting children.
A Trinidad-born, UK-based queer rights advocate is getting death threats after he filed a legal challenge to the buggery laws of Trinidad and Tobago, the twin-island Caribbean nation off the northern coast of South America. Jason Jones is also challenging the Immigration Act of Trinidad and Tobago, which specifically denies entry to gays and lesbians. Even though the laws are rarely enforced, Jones argues that their mere existence contributes to a culture of homophobia. He told the Trinidad Daily Express that the police have dismissed several death threats that have been posted to his Facebook page as idle, not legitimate. But these are bold-faced death threats, Jones told the newspaper. They are saying I deserve a bullet through my head and I cannot do anything about it. Jones said that he moved out of a friend's house because I didn't want to put him at risk. He said that he's also hired a security firm. But Jones also expressed appreciation for the literally hundreds of people who have messaged me to find out how they can become involved. I am doing this for the betterment of our nation and for our future generations, he said. My resolve is even stronger now, so let them come, Jones added. I'm ready for them.
A number of major corporations have filed friend of the court briefs in support of Virginia High School student Gavin Grimm as anticipation grows for the first ever transgender-related case to be heard by the U.S. Supreme Court. The central issue, with oral arguments scheduled for March 28th, is whether or not federal civil rights laws that ban bias based on sex also protect transgender people. Apple, Spotify, IBM, Amazon, Intel, The Gap, PayPal, eBay, and Microsoft are among 53 of the biggest companies in the United States to sign on to the brief this week supporting Grimm's right to pee in the boys' bathroom. The companies say diversity and inclusion are central to their businesses, and recruiting trans people is a critical component of their missions. The cities of New York and San Francisco have also filed briefs supporting Grimm, along with unions representing more than a million teachers and other school personnel, and groups that include Americans United for Separation of Church and State and the Constitutional Accountability Center. Chase Strangio, a staff attorney with the American Civil Liberties Union, which is representing Grimm, told a March 2nd teleconference that he's hopeful that the High Court will issue a landmark ruling affirming transgender rights. But no matter what happens, he said, nobody is going back into the shadows. Nobody is going to stop fighting, and there will be many avenues for public and social change, as well as legal relief for the trans community.
There are Trump connections to a successful Free to Pee lawsuit in the U.S. state of Pennsylvania and to the Oscar-winning Moonlight. Juliette Ivanko, the transgender sister of Jackie Ivanko, who sang the national anthem at the Trump inauguration, was one of this week's three successful student plaintiffs demanding to use campus bathrooms consistent with their gender identity. The policy of Pennsylvania's Pine Richland School District currently requires transgender students to either use single-person bathrooms or facilities matching their birth gender. U.S. District Court Judge Mark R. Harnick cited the 14th Amendment's equal protection guarantees in ruling that the plaintiffs appear to the court to be young people seeking to do what young people try to do every day, go to school, obtain an education, and interact as equals with their peers. He said there was a reasonable likelihood that their lawsuit against the local school district would succeed and ordered that in the meantime, the students be allowed to use campus restrooms that match their gender identity.
And Franklin Graham, son of Billy and the leading preacher at Trump's inauguration, this week lamented Moonlight's Best Picture Oscar, saying it aims to induce young people into making homosexual lifestyle choices. Clearly demonstrating that he hasn't actually seen the film, Graham wrote that, from the reviews I read, Moonlight portrays a young, gay African-American coming of age, and it stereotypes him as violent, a drug dealer, and a convict. Hollywood is notorious for glorifying sin, he said. I warn families and the church, don't allow your young people to be sucked into Hollywood's dark plan. The R-rated Oscar-winning film has been in limited release, and all of the eight other Best Picture nominees, including box office hits La La Land, Hidden Figures, and Arrival, continue to draw larger audiences. But Moonlight expands in the coming week to about 1,500 screens in the U.S. and Canada, its widest release yet. It remains to be seen, however, if Oscar boosts its box office numbers.
Meanwhile, TV and film star Patricia Arquette criticized the Academy this week for omitting her late transgender sister, Alexis, during the In Memoriam part of the Global Oscars telecast. Alexis Arquette died last September of complications from AIDS at the age of 47. She appeared in several films before transitioning, ranging from The Wedding Singer and Pulp Fiction, Two of Mice and Men, and Last Exit to Brooklyn. The Oscar-winning Patricia told Vanity Fair that her sister was a vanguard in the fight for understanding and acceptance for all trans people. At a time when we have trans kids that can't even go to the bathroom at school, she said, you would think the Academy would have a little bit more respect.
In other news, 17-year-old Mai King Johnson has become the first scholarship player on a major U.S. college football team to come out before he's even played his first game. The 6'4", 225-pound Tempe High School defensive end has committed to being a Wildcat at his home state, University of Arizona. He came out to his supportive mother, Nadette Lewis, when he was 12 years old. According to a story in the Arizona Daily Star newspaper, she told him that it doesn't matter. Love who you are, no matter what you are. If you love yourself first, then everybody else will respect that and have no choice but to love you. When Johnson came out to him at a recruitment meeting, University of Arizona defensive line coach Vince Amay said simply that, we want you to be a Wildcat. I do feel like this can put a target on my back, Johnson said. He later tweeted, I'm just here to play football.
And finally, a female-to-male transgender high school wrestler in Texas who's been forced to compete as a girl handily won the state's girls' championship this week in the 110-pound weight classification. Mac Beggs, a 17-year-old junior at Trinity High School in Euless, began transitioning 2 years ago. The University Interscholastic League, which oversees sports in Texas public schools, ordered Beggs to continue competing in the girls' division despite his obvious physical advantage. He's been getting testosterone injections during his transition process. Dallas sportscaster Dale Hansen was one of the few in his profession to speak out in support of Michael Sam when the University of Missouri standout became the first openly gay professional football player in the U.S. And he still gets it, telling his WFAA TV viewers this week that,
Mac Beggs does not need a group of old men in Austin telling him who to wrestle because of a genetic mix-up at birth. We have argued long enough about birth certificates. It's an argument that needs to end. You don't have to understand. I don't understand. But Mac Beggs is a child simply looking for his place in the world and a chance to compete in the world. Do we really not have the simple decency to allow him at least that?
Dallas sportscaster Dale Hansen.
That's News Wrap for the week ending March 4th, 2017. Produced by Steve Pride, written by Greg Gordon, and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles.
Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap from This Way Out is brought to you by you.
Help keep us on the air and in your ears at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast. For This Way Out, I'm Jessica Andrea.
And I'm Danny Cruz.
I'm Greg Gordon with the News Wrap update. There won't be oral arguments as scheduled on March 28th at the U.S. Supreme Court in the case of transgender Virginia teen Gavin Grimm. A terse order issued by the High Court on March 6th sent the case back to the 4th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in Richmond, Virginia, for further consideration. That court ruled in Grimm's favor last year. The order cited the Trump administration's rollback of Obama-era protections for transgender students as the reason for the delay. The case may now not be heard for months, if not years, and both sides have expressed disappointment that the issue won't be more immediately resolved. We'll have more on this developing story next time on This Way Out.
When the 20th anniversary of the AIDS Coalition to Unleash Power rolled around, it was not a time for soggy reminiscences and gold watches for work well done. Still neck deep in the George W. Bush administration, in March of 2007, U.S. activists were fighting Don't Ask, Don't Tell, while Joint Chiefs of Staff Chair General Peter Pace had no qualms about calling homosexual behavior immoral. The Defense of Marriage Act was also the law of the land. A slew of state-level anti-LGBTQ measures were rallying conservative religious voters to the polls. And it was a year before any audacious hope and change could be seen on the horizon. We seem to have come full circle a decade later, with a list of astonishing victories now threatened as the pendulum swings from the era of Obama to the turbulence of Trump. So it's more than timely to mark the 30th anniversary of ACT UP by reconsidering what the group's founder had to say at the commemoration 10 years ago. Here's Greg Gordon.
Larry Kramer, the firebrand instigator of the AIDS Coalition to Unleash Power, marked ACT UP's 20th anniversary with a new demand for action. It was March 13th at New York City's LGBT Center, and Kramer was primed for a fight. In an almost hour-long speech, the author of the novel Faggots, the play The Normal Heart, and the screenplay for Women in Love recounted the many accomplishments of ACT UP and detailed the ongoing persecution against lesbian, gay, bi, and trans people in the U.S. and around the world. What follows is some of what he had to say.
Freedom! We're talking about your freedom! Freedom to choose what to do with your body. Freedom to believe what you like. Freedom for brothers to love one another. Freedom for black and white. Freedom from elitism, male domination. Freedom for the mother and wife. Freedom from big brother's interrogation. Freedom to live your own life.
One day AIDS came along. It happened fast. Almost every man I was friendly with died. Many of us will always have memories like this that we can never escape. Out of this came ACT UP. We grew to have chapters and affinity groups and spin-offs and affiliations all over the world. Hundreds of men and women once met weekly in New York City alone. Every single treatment against HIV is out there because of activists who forced these drugs out of the system, out of the labs, out of the pharmaceutical companies, out of the government, into the world. It is an achievement unlike any other in the history of the world. All gay men and women must let ourselves feel colossally proud of such an achievement. Hundreds of millions of people will be healthier because of us. Would that they would or could be grateful to us for saving their lives. We had regular demonstrations, die-ins we call them, at the Food and Drug Administration, in the National Institutes of Health, at city halls, at the White House, in the halls of Congress, at government buildings everywhere, starting with our first demonstration on Wall Street, where crowds of us lay flat on the ground with our arms crossed over our chest or holding cardboard tombstones until the cops had to cart us away by the vans full. A lot of us got arrested a lot of times. A lot of us. We kept our lawyers members busy. It actually was a wonderful feeling being locked up behind bars and cells with the brothers and sisters you have fought with side by side for what you fervently believe in. Slowly we were noticed, and even more slowly, we were listened to. How could a population of gay people call us the survivors or the descendants of those who did all this, be so relatively useless now? Maybe useless is too harsh, ineffectual, invisible. No, useless is not too harsh. Oh, let us just call ourselves underutilized. The old ACT UP is no longer useful enough. There are not enough of us, few people go to meetings, our chapters have evaporated. Our voice has dimmed in its volume and its luster. Our protests are no longer heard. We must be heard. We must be. We are not crumbs. We should not accept crumbs. We must not accept crumbs. They don't want us here. When are we going to face up to this? We are discriminated against at every turn. Gays are equal to nothing good or acceptable in this country. It is criminal how they treat us. We get further and further from progress and equality with each passing year. This is not just about gay marriage. Political candidates only talk about gay marriage, making nicey-nice maybes. And we are not demanding that they talk about the kind of equality I am talking about. Gay marriage has become a useful red herring for them to pretend they are talking about gays when they are not. For some reason, our movement has confined its feeble demands to marriage. Well, my lover and I don't want to get married just yet. But we sure want to be equal. I wish I could make all gay people everywhere accept this one fact that I know to be an undisputed truth. We are hated. Haven't enough of us died for all of us to believe this? 70 million cases of HIV were all brewed in a cauldron of hate. This is not meant as finger-pointing or blame. It just is.
Hi, I'm Cleve Jones, and you are listening to This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. An informed community is a strong community.
You're listening to excerpts from a speech by pioneering AIDS activist and author Larry Kramer, given on the occasion of the 20th anniversary of ACT UP, the AIDS Coalition to Unleash Power. Kramer's analysis of the progress toward LGBT equality, the failures of the queer rights movement, and his hopes for the future continues.
I also know that any organization that we start now must be an army. You have resisted this word in the past. Perhaps now that the man in charge of America's army is calling you immoral, you won't resist being called an army anymore. We must field an organized army with elected leaders and a chain of command. It must be a gay army with gay leaders fighting for gay people under a gay flag in gay battle formations against our common enemies, uncontaminated by any fear of offending or by any sense that this might not be the time to say what we really need to say. We must cease our never-ending docile cooperation with a status quo that never changes in its relationship to us. It is very wearying to witness our carrying on so passively year after year, particularly now that all of us, and I mean all of us have been given the gift of life. I know that young gays don't think this way, but many of us died to give you this gift of staying alive. You are alive because of us. I wish you would see this. And we all owe it to the dead as well as to ourselves to continue a fight that we have stopped fighting. We do not seem to realize that the more we become visible, that more and more of us come out of the closet, the more vulnerable we become to the more and more increasingly visible hate against us. In other words, the more they see us, the more they hate us. The more new gays they see, the more new ways they find to hate us. We do not seem to realize that the more we urge each other to come out, which indeed we must never stop doing, the more we must protect ourselves for and from our exits onto the stage of the world that hates us more and more. It has been a painful lesson to learn, but democracy does not protect us. Unity does, united commitment to confront our many foes. I am not asking you if you even want another organization. I am just hoping that you are smart enough to realize, eureka, that the good deeds we once accomplished, which changed history, can be accomplished again. For we are still facing the same danger, our extermination, and from the same enemy, our own country, our own country's democratic process. Day after day, our country declares that we are not equal to anything at all. All the lives we saved are nothing but crumbs if we still aren't free. And gay people still aren't free. Think about it. Think about all of this, please. We are the only people in America that it is socially acceptable to hate and discriminate against. Indeed, so much hate of us exists that it is legally acceptable to pass constitutional amendments to hate us even more. This is democracy. This is how our courts and laws protect us. These are the equal rights for all that America's Bill of Rights proclaim for all. The biggest enemy we must continue to fight continues to be our own government. How dare we stop? We cannot stop. We are not crumbs. We must not accept crumbs, and we must stop acting like crumbs. ACT UP is the most successful grassroots organization that ever lived, period. There never was, never has been, one more successful that has achieved as much as we. We did it before. We can do it again. But to be successful, activism must be practiced every day by a lot of people. It made us proud once. It united us with a renewed commitment to love and support and to fight to save each other, with a renewed commitment to the anger that saved us once before, with the belief that anger, along with love, are the two most healthy and powerful emotions we are good at. I believe that we could have such a historical success again. May I conclude these thoughts, these remarks, toward the definition of a new ACT UP that will hopefully begin to be discussed forthwith, with this cry from my heart. Farewell, ACT UP. Long live ACT UP. Thank you.
That was author-activist Larry Kramer commemorating the 20th anniversary of the founding of ACT UP, the AIDS Coalition to Unleash Power. 2 days later, 250 protesters joined him at Times Square's Army Recruiting Center to denounce General Peter Pace's characterization of gays and lesbians as immoral. More ACT UP-style demonstrations are planned for San Francisco and New York. And after that...
Prejudice, poison, polluting this land.
Maybe useless is too harsh, ineffectual, invisible. No, useless is not too harsh.
In the final analysis, it's the point to chafe the status quo so that things change. And if the immediate community gets rubbed the wrong way too, that's simply part of how history moves.
Larry Kramer's ACT UP anniversary speech rubbed a lot of people the wrong way in 2007. Queer historian Stuart Timmons shared his assessment of the controversy then, and we'll share his thoughts again with you next time on This Way Out. Thanks for discovering This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. This week, Danny Cruz and Jessica Andrea contributed program material, with thanks as always to Steve Pride. The Tom Robinson Band performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation, the Yavanna Foundation, the estate of Christopher David Trentum, our contributing affiliate stations, and you, our individual listener donors, for making this program possible. It's always a good time to log on to thiswayout.org and join the family. Check us out on Facebook, Twitter, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and Google+. Email tworadio@aol.com or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078 USA. For coordinating producer Greg Gordon and everyone at This Way Out, I'm Lucia Chappell. Thanks for listening online at thiswayout.org. And on 7LTN Launceston, Tasmania, WAZU Peoria, Illinois, CKDU Halifax, Nova Scotia, and more than 200 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Now y'all stay tuned.